You may have noticed that from time to time, priests are going to use incense for the Mass. We use incense usually at Christmas time and at Easter. And while priests enjoy using the incense, many times people in the congregation don't really care for it all that much. But there's a reason behind the use of it. Incense has been used since Old Testament times as a sign of the holiness of God, just to kind of show his greatness, his glory, his power. And it's also a sign of our prayers rising up, and like the smoke does, into the heavens. Incense was used in the sacrifices of the temple, again, showing our sacrifice to God. Incense itself was extremely expensive, and so to burn something like that was a way of giving something back to God, too, who had given us so much. But one curious thing that we do that people don't always understand is why we incense the bodies of the deceased at the end of the funeral mass. People know that we do it, but we don't always understand why. There's a significant point in that. The body that lays in that casket is destined for burial, but we also know that that same body is destined for resurrection when the Lord Jesus returns on the last day. That a Christian who lives in Christ throughout his or her life will rise to the glory of God just as Jesus did on that first Easter Sunday. As he said to the scribes and Pharisees and everyone else, destroy this temple, speaking of his body, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. What he reminds us is that the human body is something sacred. So sacred that the body itself becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. That happens at baptism. When we're washed clean of sin, original sin is taken away, replaced by sanctifying grace, and we become filled with the Spirit of Christ. We become temples of the Holy Spirit. Thus, when that body dies, it is incensed, as incense was used in the temple of old and still used today in worship and sacrifice, as a sign that this body is sacred, that held a soul anointed by the very Spirit of God himself. In fact, the funeral liturgy is filled with symbols of baptism. The holy water that's sprinkled on the casket, the pall that covers the body, the Easter candle, the Paschal candle that burns there, all a reminder to all of us of that Easter mystery. It's all about life and resurrection, and it all finds its beginning, its origin, in baptism. So where does baptism come from? In the Jewish faith, there were all kinds of different purification ceremonies before going into worship, before celebrating certain feast days and holidays, like Passover, for example. The baptism of John was not a sacrament. It's not the same thing as what you and I experience in baptism. It was purely symbolic. It was people wanting to wash away the guilt of the sins of the past and recommitting themselves, repenting, if you would, to living a new life according to the Jewish law. They wanted to be righteous people. But the baptism of John could do nothing to change a person from the inside out. In fact, that question comes very often. You know, why was Jesus baptized? He's the divine Son of God. He has no sin, which is true. So Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Correct. He did not need a sacramental baptism. But, again, the baptism of John did not confer any interior graces. It was a sign, a symbol of transformation, a conversion, a new dedication to law. Jesus was baptized, though, because he was going to change his own life. He was going to leave behind that quiet, hidden life in Nazareth, where he worked as a carpenter, living with his mother Mary, and moving into what God had destined him for, that is, his public ministry, to begin his preaching. And, of course, his preaching, which lead to his suffering to his death and his resurrection. And, of course, with his resurrection comes that sending of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized to transform baptism, to make it something new for every one of us. In fact, as he was ascending from this earth and leaving to go back into heaven to the right hand of the Father, he told his apostles to, quote, go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always until the end of the age. What is Jesus saying? He's telling the apostles to go and preach the gospel, to call people into faith, and to be baptized in the name of the Trinity. To have a new way of life, to be transformed by the Spirit of God, as we were. When you and I were baptized, the very same thing happens. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and draws us, pulls us into the very heart of God himself, into the heart of the Trinity. They were made sons and daughters of God the Father. that we are made brothers and sisters, one with the Lord Jesus Christ, who came among us in a flesh, who unites us to himself through baptism, and gives us a share of the Holy Spirit that we can become transformed. And more than that, after a few years, we become confirmed, where he seals that gift of baptism with the great seven gifts of the Holy Spirit and sends us out to continue our work, our mission in the whole world. In other words, as Jesus said, I am with you to the end of the age. Where is Jesus going to be? In us, his body, the church, his temple, sanctified by the very Spirit that he gives us. In between all that, he nourishes us with his own body and blood. Again, the Eucharist becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ by the power of the Spirit through the priest given to the church to unite us not just spiritually but physically to Christ himself. That we live in Christ, Christ lives in us, that we become one body, the church, and we are the messengers of the gospel sent out by the Lord to bring his presence wherever we find ourselves. We are Christians. We have been marked with a charism, that is, a sign, the sign of faith, anointed by Christ, the Messiah. We are transformed, anointed by the very breath of God, the Holy Spirit. We've been cleansed by the waters of baptism, anointed with that sacred oil of the Spirit, and are nourished by the bread and wine that have become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Why? Why? The gospel tells us that as Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, the heavens were opened for him, and people saw the Spirit of God descending, coming gently as a dove upon the Lord. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This same scene is enacted every time baptism takes place in the Catholic Church. When a child or an adult, whoever it is baptized, the very same thing happens. They come up from the waters and the very Spirit of God comes to rest on them like a dove. And even though you can't hear it audibly, God the Father is saying, "You are my beloved Son, you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." How profound is that? That God claims us as his own sons and daughters in whom he is well pleased. So what do we do with these gifts that the Lord gave us? The Acts of the Apostles tells us very succinctly about the whole of life, the life of Christ, that he went about doing good. He went about doing good, healing those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, the same thing with all of us. As Christians, we're sent out to do the very same thing, to go out there and do some good. Not to raise hell, there's enough of that already. Not to continue any sin, there's enough of that. And not to bring about oppression by the devil, which many times we do through temptation, but to break the spirit of evil by the power of grace. That's the whole point of Christian life. To destroy the work of the devil in the world, to destroy any power that he has whatsoever. Why? Because God is with us. God is with us. God is within us. We are in God and God is in us. We have become united to Christ. And it all begins, as I said, in baptism, strengthened by the Eucharist and empowered by the gift of confirmation. Psalm 29 says, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Adore the Lord in holy attire." What does that mean? Obviously, to give God the glory that's due his name, to praise, to worship, honor, and adore, and serve him, and to adore him in holy attire. Not just decent clothes and good clothes on the outside, which is true, but to be clothed by the power of grace, to be transformed by the power of God's mercy from the inside out. To become something new, something great, something holy. St. Paul reminds us that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We've already died the old way of life, and we live in grace. He also reminds us that through baptism, none of us lives for himself, and none of us dies for himself. From that point onward, we live for the Lord. And that everything that we do in the body now is Christ living in and through us. We're going to be judged, as he says, by the things that we have done in the body, because that body is sacred, a temple of the Holy Spirit. So throughout our lives, we make promises, vows to God, of how we're going to live the Christian life. It began in baptism, where we promised and vowed to reject Satan, to turn away from temptation and sin, to affirm our faith in the Son of God, to affirm our faith in the Church, and all that the Church believes, teaches, professes, and lives. Every Easter, we reaffirm those promises, if you remember that. On Easter Sunday, we renew our baptismal promises. With confirmation, as I said, we are sealed by that Holy Spirit, His sevenfold gifts, to be sent out and to bring the presence of Jesus into our homes, to bring the presence of Jesus into our families, our work, wherever we find ourselves, to always bring the presence of Jesus Christ and to do whatever He did, that is, to go about doing good, being Christians, being Christ. There's other vows and promises we make. The vows and promises of marriage, the vows and promises of holy orders for those who are priests and deacons, the vows and the promises of religious life. All of these things are to be lived. To live our vows, to live our promises, to live in complete dedication and allegiance to Jesus Christ as members of His body, the Church, as temples of the Holy Spirit. To become Christ incarnate. So we celebrate it at Christmas time. As Jesus is coming into the world. And as He said, I am with you always. His presence is here. But we thank God for that. Not living for ourselves, but living our lives as the Lord's servants. To be His servants in life and in death. Clothing ourselves in the holy attire of God's grace. Knowing that we are always the beloved sons and daughters of God.